There is something special about studying the Bible depending on you that just changes everything. I'm so glad so many young people are back this afternoon. I know it's for you, Lord. You are beautiful, and man, you're more wonderful than anything else we could possibly do. So thank you for being here and for bringing them here. And now, Lord, don't let me let them down. Let me share these skills with them so they learn them and can start using them and enjoying you. In your wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. All righty. Let me go over some of the materials and stuff and what we're going to be doing. I mentioned some of this in your classes, so you guys, you know, I started kind of filling you in on this idea. You know, the best way to study the Bible is to study it a whole book at a time. You know, you don't study it all in one day. You study a little bit each day, and you go, you work your way through a book. If you work your way through a book, then you're pretty sure that as you're studying, what you study is in context. Now, context absolutely rules in Bible study. Christopher Wren was the architect for the great cathedral in London. And he spent 34 years working on that cathedral. Since he only lived to be 52 years old, you could just about say he spent his life working on that cathedral. He designed it. He was there to supervise every brick, every stone, everything that was done. And when he was done, naturally, you know, he would like to get the appreciation of his sovereign, Queen Victoria. You know, that she would give him, you know, some kind of a, yes, that was a wonderful job you've done there, and so on. And so he took the queen on a tour. And when the tour was over, she described it like this. She said, it was awful, artificial, and amusing. Now, if that was me, I probably would have gone, excuse me. I mean, what a thing to see. You know, that's because I know what those words mean today. But in his case, he was absolutely overjoyed. You know why? Awful meant awesome. Artificial meant it was a work of art. And amusing meant that it was absolutely fantastic on the eyes, and it was an experience for people to cherish and remember. Context means everything. Today, you know, we have our own meanings for words. Back then, they had different meanings. And if you don't understand the Bible like that original audience understood it, forget it. You're going to make the Bible say what you want it to say, and that's what a lot of people do. There's a lot of different churches out there, and everybody has their own spin on everything. And everybody thinks their spin is right. And if you're going to sit there and try to work one spin against the other, it's going to be like two black holes trying to win a fight, you know? Which one has the Schwarzschild spin to the right, and which one has it to the left? I mean, you try to work the two spins and see what. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, it's the thing to do is to get in the Bible in such a way that everybody knows Jesus is in charge. And you're going to learn the Bible from him. And then it's pretty hard later to, you know, change your mind. I mean, you know what happens a lot of times? You guys have probably studied with some friends. I know the adults here, you've studied with people. And they get all fired up. And then they go back and see their pastor or some other friends. And then they won't even return your calls after that. It's like, don't want to talk to those people. That's because people do that all the time. Did I tell you guys about when I went to the island of Guam? I talked about the brown tree snake. But did I talk to you guys about how the Catholic kids came to my rescue one day? Did I tell you about that? When I went Mr. Wade was there, and he threw my name in the hat, and they agreed to have me come. And I was delighted. I mean, I was always doing lots of weeks of prayer back then, so I was really delighted to go to Guam. And it's a big school, lots of kids. At that time, one of the really big schools out in the Far East. And so I went there, and what I agreed to do is I was going to do a youth rally the first weekend, week of prayer at the academy. First weekend was at Agana Heights. And then the second weekend, I was going to do another rally at the Talafofo Church. And so we did the rally at Agana Heights, and it went great. Except like some teachers came to see me on Sunday morning. They said, do you know anything about the situation between us and the Catholics here on the island? And I went, what? I mean, I realize that Catholics and Adventists have their disagreements, you know. What kind of problem? They said, well, they'll tell you how bad it is. It's so bad that if you if you're a Catholic married to a Seventh-day Adventist, you better make separate burial arrangements for your Seventh-day Adventist spouse. They won't even let us bury our dead in their cemetery. And I was like, whoa, now that's bad. So we had a couple of laughs together. Ha, 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 they all left. And then I went, whoa, we need to make sure there's some things we don't talk about during this week of prayer. I mean, let's make sure, okay? So in my mind, I'm saying, I am not talking about the end time. I'm going to avoid the book of Daniel. And I am definitely going to touch Daniel 8. You can forget about that. We are not talking about the little horn, okay? That's like last thing we're ever going to get to. Because guess what? Better than half of the school was Catholic, right? I'm serious. There was like, what, 650 kids in that school? Or something like that. About 350 Catholics and 100 Protestants and 200 Adventists. So the really outnumbered. Start the week of prayer in the morning, tell them some neat stories, the kids laughed, and you know, then got them get serious. And it was a great opening. It just couldn't have gone any better. And so chamorros, they love to hug. Those are physically affectionate people. Those kids came up and they started hugging me. I mean, I was getting mangled. That was wonderful. I mean, some of you guys actually, you can hug me. I'm okay. I'm okay with being hugged, all right? So these guys came up and they hugged and everything, and it was great. And then some of them said, hey, are you going to teach the Bible classes? And I went to myself, I'm saying, not if I can help it. No, I haven't actually been officially invited, to do that. Some of the Bible teachers heard that, and they could see, free period. Yes, we would like you to come and teach our Bible class. Yeah, great idea. So, you know, I said, oh, well, yeah, there it is. So that first morning, I ran from class to class to class to class. By lunch, I was absolutely out of it. I was like, huh, I can't keep this up. This is incredible. So many classes, you know, so in the afternoon, they had mercy on me. They took all the high school kids. Remember, they threw them all together in one great big class for a couple of hours. For 3 days, it went great. But, see, we got off on the wrong foot. Because when I said to them, I said, hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, Pastor G. What do you guys want to talk about in this class? End time stuff. Me and my big mouth. Why didn't I just set an agenda, you know? And I didn't, and they said that. And then I said, well, what do you want to study about end time stuff? They said, hey, we're studying the book of Daniel in our Bible classes. I said to myself, I'm not even going to ask about chapter 8, because I know that's where they're at. So, okay, we'll start at square one. And with God's blessing, we'll never get to chapter 8. You know, but we did get to chapter 8. The first half of Thursday, we got to chapter 8. We took our little potty break, about 5 minutes. And then the kids came back, and we're just about to start again. And this Protestant girl, I will never forget her. Boy, she just opened fire on me. She says, you know, you're not teaching this book the same way my pastor teaches it. When he teaches it, the whole world goes to war over oil in the Middle East. And I said to myself, well, there goes the week of prayer. What are we going to do? Start talking about the papacy and the little horn and all that. There was nothing I could do. All I could do was pray. I just fired off this like quick prayer to God. I went, "Dear God, save this week of prayer. It was going so well." And he rescued me in the form of a humongous Catholic kid. The kid, I mean, he was like a double-wide trailer. He's one of the biggest kids I've ever seen. He was as wide as he was tall. And he comes up. I'm going to pretend you're the girl. He just comes up. He goes, "Oh, get off your high horse. Can't you see it's the Pope?" I never said that. Air was gone from the room, you know. In an instant, I had this vision of all the Catholic parents coming in the night with torches. Like out of a scene from Frankenstein. And they set fire to the building, and the teachers are all on a windmill going around and around and around, and the Catholics all going, "Good for you guys." I'm like, "It's over now. I mean, did you hear what he said?" And that poor, stunned Protestant girl, she just looked up at him. And he's like, "It's the Pope. Can't you see it? He's political. And he's religious, and he gets everybody else to do all his dirty work for him. It's the Pope. Get over it. Deal with it. Live with it. And then shut up. We're enjoying this class." You go, "Okay, Pastor G, take over again, man." And as he walks to the back, this is 1991. All the kids are doing the Arsenio Hall dog pound. Cheering them on. It's like, okay, I never said that. I gave him skills. I got him studying. There were getting in this stuff. They were meeting even after class. They were getting together at night, talking about stuff because these skills were like brand new to them. And they were having such a... And they came to these conclusions on their own. And when you do that, you own it. You know what? A bunch of those kids got baptized. Remember, a bunch of them stayed behind to study with the mission youth director. It wasn't quite a conference then. They study a bunch of Catholic kids, and you can't believe what that's like. On Guam, I mean, there's full-page ads for masses for the dead. You go shopping, and they have, you know, you hear on Wednesday nights, bong, bong, bong. Everybody drops to their knees, whips out their rosaries, and a nun or a priest or a brother leads them in the rosary. I mean, Catholicism is the island. And these kids took a stand for Jesus, and they broke away from all of that. I mean, only God knows what their parents did to them. But the point is, they own this stuff. Because when they studied it, they dug it up for themselves, and they owned it. And nobody was going to take it away from them. And so that's what I'm hoping. You know, I'll be showing you guys what to do. And I'm going to kind of speed this up, because I know you guys can't come back tomorrow. You got class tomorrow because you got home leave on Wednesday. Now, for the seniors, though, I've been invited by Pastor Mark to come to your classes on Wednesday in the early afternoon. On Sunday in the early afternoon. So I can come by your classes and do a few things. But in the morning, I want to meet with parents. I hope you guys are going to come back because we're going to start you and get this thing rolling. So we need to just see how this all works out. If need be, maybe we can get the parents to come to your classes and we'll just do it in your classroom. So let me tell you what this is about, how this works, and we'll get started, okay? I need some help getting these worksheets out. So we need somebody on this side. Anybody volunteer? Hi, volunteer. And is somebody on that side? Hello, volunteer. Thanks. And then you know what? While they're doing that, I need four more volunteers. Can I get four more volunteers to pass out these bookmarks? Everybody gets one of these. Everybody gets one of those. Everybody gets one of these. And everybody gets one of those. Okay? You know, it's very hard to get the time to study a whole Bible book at a time. Today, people have much shorter attention spans, and you have to be able to get people into what they want to talk about as fast as you possibly can. So we've come up with quick study. Now, it's not that it's so quick, because it's pretty in-depth, but we've made the skills very, very simple. Really simple. And what makes... Oh, yeah. Does anybody else need pencils? Oh, there's more folks. Can I recruit you to go around and give out pencils? Thanks. Pretty soon they'll be afraid to raise their hands around here. I thought, no speak the English. No, no. Okay, yeah, it's like in the Army. Remember in the Army, it's like you never asked anybody to raise their hands anymore. It was like, remember, step forward, and what would everybody do? They'd all step back, and they'd leave that poor sucker out there, and he was the volunteer. I remember. Yeah, if you've never served in the military, it's another world. And that ain't a soap opera. It's another world. Yeah, I was there. But you know what? I had asthma. And when it came to going to Vietnam, they sent me home. Oh, I cried my eyes out that I didn't get to go to Vietnam. Boy, I was just so upset for about 2, maybe 3 seconds. I grew up with asthma. Vietnam would have been the end of me right there. It's a terrible place. Not to mention, you know about my fear of snakes, right? I mean, to be honest with you, Vietnam is like wall-to-wall snakes. That's all I ever heard from everybody. It's like everywhere you turn, it was snakes everywhere. Just be in the middle of a conversation, take the butt end of your rifle, kill another snake, you know. I would have probably just fainted and died, right? Just, snake! Well, you haven't heard my snake story. They have. Right? Would I have fainted if I had seen those snakes, right? Guaranteed. I'd have turned to stone. Oh, my. Yeah, I told them my snake story. You know, I told that snake story at a youth congress in Buffalo, New York, and Jose Rojas was there. You all know who Jose Rojas is? You know, he's got that mustache that comes like out to here. Yeah. Jose, in case you don't know it, is the foremost snake handler in North America. Did you ever see Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first of the Indiana Jones movies? Guess what? All those snakes were Jose's snakes. He was the snake expert that did all the snake handling and everything for that movie. It's really funny. When Israel Leto was leaving the NAD as youth director, he sent out word and got resumes from all kinds of guys to take his place. Jose's secretary reached into the wrong drawer, and instead of sending his resume as a youth director, she sent his resume as a snake handler. Israel Leto said, "I realize kids are slippery and they're hard to deal with, but snake handling? Come on, man. Send me your youth director." Anyway, I told him that story. I told a story at that youth congress. He laughed so hard. And every time I see him, this is no joke. If you ever see him coming and me walking up, he starts coming and he sees me. And what's the first thing he does, Joe? He just starts what? Cracking up. He can't stop, and he starts apologizing. "I'm sorry, man. I wish I could stop laughing. Sitting on a snake, bitten on the butt. I can't believe it." And he just laughs and laughs and laughs. Yes, sir, if I'd have gone to Vietnam, I'd have died from snake fright. Not snake bite, snake fright. That would have ended it for me. Okay, by now you've got all your stuff. Okay, here we go. What we've done, and I started explaining this in your classes, is, you know, especially at your age, and believe it or not, I mean, a lot of adults have much shorter attention spans today than they've ever had before. And so when people are talking about stuff, they want to get into the subject as quickly as they can, and they want to start, at least get them digging into it, you know? And the problem is, of course, as I've mentioned, though, is context. If you don't do it in context, you blow it. It's like, forget it. You just go off, and you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, and the people start arguing, and there's no spiritual basis for settling the argument because everybody says, well, my interpretation's as good as yours, right? You know, you started with that stuff. So what we've done is, I started mentioning this. We talked about, remember the principle that I talked about? Bible study, you don't come up with a system for Bible study and then just impose it on the Bible. The best way to study the Bible is to understand the way the Holy Spirit led the writers to write it. Then if you understand how it was written, then it's easier to understand. Okay? One of the things we pointed out was that Hebrews like to summarize before they go into detail. And that's all through the Bible. And in the New Testament, even though it's in Greek, the New Testament is, where does the New Testament get all of its ideas? From the Old Testament. It imports everything from the Old and then amplifies it, you know, with more light than the Old Testament people had, and starts really showing you more and more detail about stuff. But even in the New Testament, same thing happens again. And you'll see this, like we talked about Genesis 1:1. Hey, would one of you guys like to explain this so the others can hear? It doesn't have to be me. It could be one of you guys. Remember what we talked about? Somebody explain it. You can do it. You can do it. What do you think? Right. Form and void. Right. Right. So verse 1 summarizes everything. Verse 2, the writer goes back, Moses goes back, and starts at square 1 and starts giving all the details. You know, it's remarkable because I was telling them that, the early Bible students in the Renaissance who were getting back into the Bible after, you know, generations and generations of monks doing all the Bible study and the average person didn't, when those people tried to study the Bible, remember, they didn't know how to study, but they were learning how to read and understand, and they wanted to use that to study the Bible. But when they looked at verse 1 and they said, look at that, God finished everything in verse 1. Verse 2, it's like, what happened? I mean, and so they invented, remember what I told you, it's called the gap theory. This was very popular. They said something must have happened between verse 1 and 2 that took a finished creation in verse 1 and turned it into a mess by verse 2. Everything was without form and void again. And what they reasoned was that must have been when Lucifer and his angels fought with Michael and his angels, and then Lucifer lost, and then he and his angels were thrown down. They were cast down to the earth, and when they got down here, they just messed everything up. That's what people really thought. But the fact is, just as he explained, the way the Bible was written, and you'll see this over and over, is it starts with a summary, and then, after it gives you the summary, then it goes back to square one and in detail starts telling you everything that happened. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? So, following that principle, I figure if we follow that principle, it'll make it easier to get the context and a whole lot harder to get out of context. So you start with, if you look at the first worksheet, just get past the text for a minute. This is the first worksheet. See that? This is the first worksheet. That first worksheet helps you to get a summary or big picture of the book. It's not detailed, but it gives you a lot of general things about the book so that you have somewhere to start before you start jumping in there and looking for details about smaller and smaller parts of the book. So it follows the biblical principle. After you get the big picture of the book, worksheet 2, right behind it. Okay, here's worksheet 2. Sweetie, do we have a bottle of water in the car? I thought I saw one. I think I was kicking it when we got in there. I had the dog on my lap in her bed. I don't know what's happened to our dog. Ever since we got here, she's gone paranoid. Anybody else's pet do that here? I've been explaining it to Mel. I've never seen her like this. She's like, she's afraid for us to leave. She goes crazy about that. She always wants to go outside the trailer. She never wants to stay in the trailer now. It's like, I was like, nope. Nope, no fever, no nothing. I'm doing great. But the dog is like, I don't want to be near you. Let me out of here. Weird. Okay, I just thought I'd ask because we haven't figured it out. Okay, worksheet 2 says on the bottom, worksheet 2. See it? After you get that kind of big picture of the book, then we show you how to summarize the book in one sentence, a whole book, because this needs to be really general. That's just a place to start. Okay, then, wait a minute. Yeah, I went one page too far. Summarize the book, and then you... Oh, thank you so much. Oh, and it's cold, too. It's the water from the fountain, right? Okay. I guess I'm going to come down with Spangle's disease. I don't know, but when it happens, I'll let you know. Okay, you summarize, and then we talk about how to target a passage. Target. See, people are going to bring up hot topics. They're going to have very pointed questions about this and about that. The general thing most people do is they just rush right to that verse, and they start giving their spiel about the verse, using it to explain their position on what somebody asked. Well, that's great, except that that may not be the position of other people that they've heard. And so now it's a kind of a he said, she said thing, because you're saying one thing, this other person says another, and now it's like we're going at each other. Okay? Instead, we've started with that big picture, and we're helping you to zero in on the very passage that's going to deal with that topic, that question, whatever. And by targeting, we'll show you how to do that. By targeting, you can make your way there without losing the context. I'm going to show you how you don't lose the context. You don't have to study. Oh, thank you, my love. My trooper. The point is that if you lose the context, then what's going to happen is you're going to make it say something it doesn't say. If the other person knows anything, they're going to catch you, and you're out of the water. You know, you're sunk right there. Down you go. So the thing to do is to target. We'll show you how to target the passage you want to go to so you won't take it out of context, and you'll be able to study with them, and it'll be accurate. Okay? The next thing you do after that is once you get to that passage, it's kind of like you start at the top of the funnel where the book is and you work your way down to that little part you want to study. And then you get a snapshot of that passage. Just some quick facts and figures about the passage. So, again, you've got a kind of a summary of it before you jump in any further and start taking it apart. Always keep that in mind. We're always summarizing before we start jumping into details. Okay? The next thing after that is where you analyze the passage on the text sheet. Okay, you'll notice that text sheet. The center of the column is for text. By the way, we have manuals about all of this stuff. And for students, by the way, we've arranged, if you want to get manuals, you can charge them against your account. You can get them, charge them against your account. But we're not going to let you go crazy so that your parents send me death threats, okay? So, but you can charge materials against your account. Anyway, you see there are three columns there. We have a CD that allows you to custom make your own study stuff. And in fact, if you want to start a group, if you have it, we give you permission to make as many customized study things for yourself and other people as you like. Okay? But you dump the text in the middle. We have a prepared template where you can just paste, cut and paste, and dump it in there. There's all the text boxes are linked. You dump it in the first page, and it'll use up as many pages as it needs until it's all settled in. And then on the right-hand side, after you do some analysis, we'll show you. We're going to show you how to play color tag with the Bible writer. Then you, in the notes column, you define words and you describe people, places, and things. Then in the left column, it's the flow column. We're going to show you how to keep up with the flow of thought or flow of events. How to see how it goes from one to the next to the next so you don't lose track of where the author is. We'll show you how to do that. Then, after you've done all that work on the passage, on the text sheet, the next thing you do is, surprise, summarize the passage. You summarize it. Then what you do is you probe the passage. This is where you ask questions and you start putting everything together, verse by verse, through the passage you want to study. This is where you really learn. I was telling you guys about the laws of closure, the law of pregnance. Hey, remember when you look at a circle, even though it's not finished, in your mind, you finish it? Remember that? And I tell you guys all about some classes, I guess I did, some I didn't. It's a natural thing. What people do is when they look at a circular figure, even though it's not even finished, in their minds, our minds don't like loose ends. So our minds look at it, we compare it with the nearest thing we know to it, and we turn it into a circle. If you look at a four-sided figure, even if it's not a square or a rectangle, whatever, what happens is your mind looks at it, closes the rectangle, the square off, and you've got a finished figure. We do the same thing when people talk. When people talk, have you ever noticed when you're talking to somebody, they finish your sentences for you? Same thing. It's the same thing. And so we don't like to leave loose ends. So what's going to happen is you're going to go through the passage and probe it. To do it, you go through it, you look at it, you have your notes with your definitions and descriptions and stuff, and you go from verse to verse, and your mind is going to come up with questions. Natural questions are just going to pop up as your mind tries to pull things together. What you're going to find out is you only learn when you ask your own questions, because that's what your mind needs in order to understand. If you ask somebody else's questions, that was their attempt to pull everything together, and you probably won't learn anything. You got to ask your own questions. So after you've done that, after you probe, and that goes on for 2 pages, we give you at least 2 pages to do it on, then you reflect on the passage. Okay. By the way, when you're probing, you can drag other verses in the same book into the thing to help understand so that you expand your study from just that one verse or that little passage in the book and you bring in the rest of the book to help you understand it. Reflection is where you bring in the rest of the Bible. You just start going through and you start looking at the verses in the passage and you say, hey, wait a minute, that reminds me of something Paul said, or I read in Hosea, or Isaiah, or Amos, and now you start bringing them together. And we're going to have very little time, but I'm going to do my best to try to help you learn how to recognize an inspired connection. Don't try to connect verses using your theology. That's a closed system. The best way to connect verses is to recognize when the Holy Spirit inspired a writer to connect with another writer. And we'll show you how to do that. And then the last thing you do after you reflect, when you reflect, there's 2 possibilities. Either what you see is going to back up something you already knew, or it's going to teach you something new. And so you got 2 possibilities on that 5th worksheet. The last worksheet is where you go from the passage to real life. And there's a process you follow in order to go from the principle in the text. And you take it and you apply it to real life. You can apply it to yourself, to another person, to a situation, to the church, to the world, whatever. To your school, whatever it comes. But this page will help you to really apply it and make it happen. Okay, are you guys game? Okay, This is real Bible study, by the way. Okay, this is the real thing. This is what I teach pastors, what I've taught seminarians. I mean, this is it. The skills are not quite as simple as these. Okay? Because, you know, everybody wants complicated. So we just give them complicated. Sophisticated. Okay? But this is the same thing, and it works. And these are very simple skills. All right? So what we're going to do is we're going to have a word of prayer. And, oh, you've got the bookmarks, too. That's right. What the bookmarks do is they just summarize this stuff. Yipes, Joe. It did it again, didn't it? It sure did. Shame. The Quick Step bookmark shows you all the steps in Bible study, and it goes worksheet by worksheet. You notice worksheet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and it has the text sheet. The Quick Target bookmark is how you target a passage. And I've given you some suggestions about how you might want to word it, and we've left room on the back so you can write in your own. The Quick Probe bookmark. Let's see. Okay. Boy, how'd that happen? Okay. Yipes. Okay. Quick Probe bookmark helps you to probe the thing. See, what's going to happen is after a while, if you have just the bookmarks, you can be reading a passage and doing a lot of this in your head. And the bookmarks will help you to just stay on track and do it without having to write everything out. But if you want for posterity, I mean, you write it out on your worksheets. There you go, man. And one of these. There you go. Did you get a set of worksheets, too?
I was passing those out.
That's why you didn't get one of these. Your place was empty and somebody walked right by. Okay. And then the last bookmark is the Quick Goals bookmark, which is all about how to apply a passage. Okay? So the point of the bookmarks is you just slip them in your Bible and you can do a lot of this is going to, you're going to start doing it in your head. We've had plenty of people do this that don't even, English is like their second language and they're doing it in their head. So I mean, these skills are simple. You just have to, here comes the word, practice. You practice, you get good at it. You don't, just doesn't happen. So you have to practice, all right? Now, you brought everything up here, didn't you, sweetie? There she goes. Okay. This is the manual. I had already grabbed one, sweetie. I already have one. This is the manual. The good thing about the manual, of course, is that it shows you everything step by step with illustrations, examples, explanations, and everything, how to do every step in Bible study. Okay? But it also has more than that. It has, for example, quick study in 7 days. What you do is you just follow the instructions each day, and you'll go through all the steps, and you'll do Hebrews chapter 1, which is a very interesting chapter. And you'll work your way through, and you'll be able to do all the worksheets. There's another worksheet for Hebrews 1 here, and also with it there's a set of worksheets just for Hebrews 1, and also there's a journal page. Because Bible study's not over unless you journal. You really do need to keep a record of what happens between you and Christ as you study. Remember, Bible study is not an academic exercise. It's an experience with Christ. So you want to write about it. And there's a place in here to put all the worksheets as you're doing passages, the notebook section. And then there's a set of masters back here of journals. So you can master out your journal page. Now, for those of you that have computers, you might want to get one of the CDs. The point of the CD is you can customize and make all your own stuff. And we give you permission, like I said, to make as many copies as you like for as many people as you like. You start a Bible study group with, you know, all the seniors in the school or something. You can make one for everybody and just, that's it. This has a lot of other stuff on it. Besides that, there's a presentation. I'm not sure if I'm actually going to use the presentation from PowerPoint because that may take too long. I may just, let's just get you into the skills and let's do it. But the CD is great because it allows you to customize everything you do. Everything you do, you can do it for yourself. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. There's the handbook. This is the book, remember the one, the gold medallion. This is the one that's, you know, at seminaries and our colleges and stuff, and a lot of other schools. I mean, this is used at Presbyterian schools, Lutheran, Baptist. They're using it to train their ministers, and that's quite a thrill in itself to know about that. The next step up from quick study is simplified skills. This is a different kind of workbook. Remember this morning I quoted Ellen White as saying that if we allow others to do our thinking, we shall have crippled energies and contracted abilities, and the noble powers of our minds have become so dwarfed from lack of exercise on themes worthy of their concentration so as to lose their ability to grasp the deep meaning of the Word of God. That was what this is for. This has a series of exercises in it, each one teaching another basic reading and comprehension skill retooled for Bible study. Because guess what? Everybody has the skills to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit knows what the Holy Spirit needs to work with. It's the reading and comprehension skills we got in grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. The problem is we let those skills go. It's just a natural thing that we try to get by with less. And as we do, those skills just fizzle and disappear. Until when you get older, it's like, you start reading and you go, let me just look it up in the commentary. You know, that kind of thing. This is a series of exercises, all different kinds. I wish I could go into some of this stuff with you. It just depends. If we get enough of you to come back, like, say, tomorrow, and then maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the evenings, we can go into how to interpret symbols, figures of speech. You know, we can talk about interpreting allegories and parables, and we can go through a whole session of how to do symbols, like using the book of Daniel. It's great stuff. But there is an answer key in the back, so you can cheat. Okay, there's an answer key in the back here. So, yeah, man, I kind of wanted one of those when I was a kid, too. So I put it in there. It's an answer key for everything in the workbook. That's the next set of skills. And matching those are these workbooks. The book of Jonah. How many kinds of books are there in the Bible? Remember I taught you guys in your classes? How many kinds of books? There's only two. Ah, he's got that. Now, do you remember what the two are? What? One tells a story, and the other one, ideas or arguments. There's two kinds of books in the Bible, story books, explanatory books. Story books tell a story one event at a time. Explanatory books present ideas or arguments one thought at a time. The events unfold in a story in the order they happen. The thoughts unfold in an idea or argument in the order the writer arranged them. That's it. Those are the two kinds of books in the Bible. And then some Bible books have both, a blend of the two. Like Galatians is an explanatory book. You're just cruising along, and you get to chapter 4, and now he starts telling this story about these two women and their kids. Remember the bondwoman and the free woman and Ishmael and Isaac? You know, treat that part as a story. When he gets through with that, go back to treating it as an explanatory book. The book of Revelation does that. The whole book of Daniel, by the way, is a story format book. Do you know that? The whole book of Daniel. In the beginning, he's telling stories about things that happened in the past. So he tells it one event at a time in the order the events happened. Then he starts talking about what's going on in the present. He tells it one event at a time in the order they are happening. And then when he talks about the future, he uses prophecy to project what will happen one event at a time. You know, in the order they will happen. So it's a storybook. And so we've done that too. So we have Jonah, which is a storybook, and Jude, which is an explanatory book. And then the book of Daniel, the whole book is a story format book. And then the book of Revelation. You could tell that took a little while to put together. The book of Revelation, this is a combination of both. So we have those. Then keep trying to helping out here. What was the name of my sermon today? Ring Around the Rabbi. It's the title of a book. Imagine that. Yeah, this book is all about that idea. And actually, it takes you into the story of the woman at the well in great detail, because that's where you see Ring Around the Rabbi really in action. And there's a lot more to it than that, a lot of practical stuff in there that really gets the concept across. And then a spinoff from that is how to lead a home Bible fellowship with Christ in charge. Jesus is the teacher. He's the leader. Even the student, I mean, the disciple who's leading the group is still a student of Christ. How to do that? How to always keep the focus on Jesus? That's what this is for. And then we have another CD that goes with the simplified studies. And then I have this little thing. This is kind of like an interim thing between old-fashioned study and inductive Bible study. It's called What's Up, Samson? On the front, he's kissing the girl. On the back, it talks him as a heart-acher rather than a heartbreaker. Okay? And they study the life of Samson, and students begin to learn that there's a lot more to the Bible than just reading it and getting it out, getting your parents out of your hair. You know, it really is. This is the book that I used at Mauna Loa that got all those kids started in the Bible study, was to use this. Okay, so there's all kinds of stuff. Here's what we'll do. Let's have a word of prayer. Take a few minutes, let you go back there with Jolynn. What you can do, because it'll definitely help you as we're going through and then as to start getting into this stuff, is to get yourselves a manual or whatever else is going to help for this workshop. You get it, you sign for it. You'll fill out a thing with your name and address and all of that. You sign for it, and then if you decide to keep it, you take care of everything either after sundown or tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday, just as long as you do it before I leave. And like I said to a few guys today, nobody stiffs me because I'm Italian. I've got family you don't want to meet. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see them either. So don't force me to make that call. Man, we've been trying to get away from those folks for years. That's one thing about the mafia, man. They always know where you are. It's terrible. So, okay. So let's have a short word of prayer. Let you guys go out there and talk with Jolynn. Get your materials, sign for them, and then come on back and we'll get into it. We'll try to do this give you guys about 10 minutes, 15 minutes the most, because then we really need to get in. I got so much to share and show you. Okay? So let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord. Father God, thank you so much that we're here together this afternoon and we have this great opportunity to pick up these skills and start practicing them. Because these skills are communication skills. They help us to connect with you as we study the Bible. And it makes it possible for us to understand you and then through your word and your Holy Spirit to make yourself understood. And so we thank you, Lord, for the miracle of the Bible and the miracle of being able to understand the Bible, because we don't have the equipment to understand the Bible. Our brains are not enough. But with the Holy Spirit and you in our heart through the Holy Spirit, boy, there isn't anything in the Bible we can't understand. If we pray for it and study it with all our heart, you will give us understanding, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, okay, so short break, go for it. Joe will be back there. You can talk with her. If you have any questions or observe anything, come on up. That's what I'm here for. Okay?